Don't be left out in the cold. Most people don't have a clue how to manage their 401k, 403b, or variable annuity. Why not have a plan that favors the strong areas of the market, large cap, small cap, or international? And what about bonds? Let Sapperston Asset Management develop a custom plan for you that will manage your current plan right where it is. There's no need to switch. Call Sapperston Asset Management, member FINRA, MSRB, and SIPC. Call Sapperston, 854-7541, 854-7541, or get specific advice each Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on the Dollar Doctor Show on ESPN 1520. Tune in 1520 or listen live on your computer at sapperston.com. Years of their shows are archived at that same address, sapperston.com. Don't be left out in the cold. To cure your retirement fund ills, call the Dollar Doctors.
The following is paid programming. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this radio station, its advertisers, or sponsors.
Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage, it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapperston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapperston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapperston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-7541. 854-7541 or call toll free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapperston Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein, how are you?
Playing with a stupid smartphone. Pay attention.
Just putting stuff in.
Unbelievable.
Putting stuff in.
I think we'll do a show on smartphones. I see Dennis is on the line. He'll tell you about what he used to do to people in his restaurant that would take out a smartphone. You know,
it'll be exciting.
It is Saturday, July 9, 2016. It is 10:04 in the morning. And we always say 10:04 in the morning because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520, at midnight, except after some nights when there's a sporting event, then it will be after the show. Also, we are available at our website, sapperston.com. It's live streaming every Saturday morning from 10 to 11. You can connect on most devices that connect to the internet by going to sapperston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. Also at the website, all of our shows are archived. You're able to pick up a show you may have missed, replay a show you did listen to, wanted to replay again. All of the archives are at the website. And finally, bright and early, every Saturday morning, there's a free economic report from Stone and McCarthy.
I got it.
And David has it.
All about unemployment.
And how good it was, right?
Yeah.
Was unemployment good or employment? Anyway, whatever it was,
they
covered. I've seen a lot of comments about the employment report. But we do encourage you to go to the website. You can get the free report that's on the website and also archive shows and also listen live streaming right now. Give us a call, 803-1520. That's 803-1520. Or toll free, 800-879-7541. Phone lines are wide open. Give us a call. We're going to go first to Dennis. Good morning.
Morning, Dennis.
And David, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Terrific. Peter, I still have my Smith & Wesson.
Very good.
At 29.43.
I figured close enough, right?
Right. You know, I think still thinking go higher. But I didn't buy any more Taser. I took your advice.
Well, that means it'll go to the moon on Monday. But anyway.
I took that money and bought some more Western Digital.
Oh, you did? Interesting.
Yeah. You know, went up $1.60 yesterday.
Yeah, it's interesting that they had a favorable earnings report. At least it was looked upon as favorable.
Yeah, they had a good projection.
Yeah, interesting. It's surprising. But I think, didn't they buy a flash drive maker or something? Are they the ones who bought SanDisk or something? Or
I don't know. I think it was SanDisk. I think you're right.
Yeah, I think I'm right, pretty much. Pretty sure. I don't remember a lot of things, but some things I do.
And I'm back in Trinity because they have a new contract for about $600 million to build these wind tunnels or wind things, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, you know, basically their main business was railroad cars, right?
Right, but they're so diversified. They're all over the place.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as I think I mentioned before, I've seen people a while back, they picked up a list of companies that might be bought out, and I know, you know, they put this on the list for what it's worth, you know, may be worth nothing, but anyway, it came up in a screen for potential companies that could be bought out. You know.
Yeah, it's got a little dividend, too, so it's worth, you know, waiting on.
Yeah, and it's been basing for, you know, the whole year, you know, basically just going into a basing pattern.
When I think this is a long shot, but you're going to hate it, Twitter.
But you're right. I hate I hate the idea of Twitter. Yeah.
But they're going to make a deal, hopefully, with the NFL. So I have to investigate it. But
yeah, I hate this. Yeah.
Anything with the NFL is a moneymaker.
You got it.
Yeah, I think somebody called when the stock was back a couple points, and I said, I hate the company, but it's looking better. You know, so.
Yeah, close to $18.
Do a little more research on that.
You know, sometimes I have to put aside my feelings for the idea of what they do, you know, and just say, and you know, how it's destroying America, you know, but that's beside the point.
You know? Well, useless, you know, everybody, no one talks to anybody anymore.
No, but everybody thinks they're important by tweeting.
Right. You know? Right. And retweeting.
But I hate to say it, Saperstein is on Twitter, you know, so.
Retweeting is the biggest thing.
Last week's show was probably one of the greatest shows I've ever heard. I almost fell off my chair into the pool.
Oh, my God.
We thought so, too.
A couple of remarks.
It was very interesting, to say the least.
I think some of the callers overdid it with, you know, the bunker boy. I know he can't hear me. He's probably down in the bunker. But 3 weeks ago, I bought silver and gold, and I'm doing well in it.
Yeah.
Well, Victor was right. That the VIG will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, you know, yeah, you got to stand, you know, a clock is right once a day.
A stop clock, that's correct.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, no question about it. You know, and there are times, I mean, this year has been a great year for silver and gold, you know. You know, I thought I read someplace that silver's up something like 46% this year or something.
Yeah, I mean, I bought it at 14, it's 20 now.
Yeah,
20, 34. But it's a trading vehicle. And
I'm a trader.
Right. And this is where people get confused because they buy and hold it. And I really, you know, it only took me 35 years to figure out, 38 years to figure out it's a trading vehicle.
Yeah.
But I have it in portfolios just as an if-come, you know, small percentages, 2, 3, 4%. Not the physical metal, but it's a trading vehicle.
I think. I'm a trader. Like last week, I bought Western Digital at 43. Went to 46, 47, I got out in a day. Now I'm back in, so, you know, it's crazy.
Well, there's always, I happen to think, you know, when people really, you know, I think there's probably more room for silver and gold, you know.
Oh, yeah,
but,
I think so.
You know, there's a famous trader saying, and you kind of did it with Smith & Wesson, and the saying goes, you know, when the ducks are quacking, feed them. You know?
Yeah, you got to, you know, that's why I didn't sell it all. I think what's going on in the country, the thing can go higher.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately.
If all of a sudden all these people start coming out telling you silver is going to $100 an ounce, then I'd start getting worried, you know. So.
Yeah. Don't run with the herd.
Exactly.
Jason, some of us love you.
I don't think that was the case. I was just trying to point out something. You know,
yeah,
just
people make points,
so we try and do that. So.
But you're right. I mean, there's two different ways of looking at it. You're a trader, and you can make good money in silver and gold.
Anything, if you're active, right.
Yeah, no question.
Right.
You know, if you buy silver and gold at the wrong time, you get hurt. You know. So certainly at the moment, people who bought oil and gold at what 18 something it was
right
within the last 1900
year. Yeah, and they're 1900. Yeah, they're not too happy right now.
No, they're crying the blues.
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question, Peter, and hang up and listen to your answer. What did you think of the Hillary decision? Have a good week.
Jeez.
Thanks, Dennis.
I can't believe he asked me that one. Because I was going to say, you know, last week the guy called on RQI, mm-hmm. you know, and I bumbled all over the place, right? You know, they said, it's this. Then it's this. Then he hung up, and I come back. I said, it's that. Well, it wasn't that, you know. And I would just like to say, like Hillary, I had no intent of messing up like that.
That's
okay?
Right.
There was no intent at all, you know. And
you just didn't know.
Right. I just didn't know. You know, I wasn't aware. And, you know, for a sophisticated person like me, I should be aware, right?
I just didn't know if I depressed the gas pedal that far that
exactly.
I would speed.
I mean, the interesting thing I see, that the guy pilloried her for 13 minutes, the FBI director. For 13 minutes, he laid into her, okay? And then he comes to that conclusion. And I know they said the law, you know, there's no precedent. Well, you can create a precedent, okay? Also, you know, he brought up the point, you know, and somebody had said, well, all right, so there's no intent, supposedly, according to you. But what about extreme carelessness? Isn't that gross negligence? He says, well, there's only been one case in 100 years of prosecuting somebody on gross negligence, and that was for espionage, right? And to me, the world has changed. You've got to take into account the environment. You know, when this guy was prosecuted, there was probably no internet. There was no email. There was no such thing as hacking, which changes the picture.
Sure.
So you got to create a precedent, you know. So it was dumb. And then I heard, you know, after he testified that that there were 110 classified emails that were classified at the time that were sent on an unclassified server. She yesterday said, "I never sent." Again, she said, "I never sent classified information."
That's because it was wiped clean. They removed the little C or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway,
it's
horrendous. But
it'll be
but the Democrats will defend Hillary to their death. Now, if Bush had done this, the Democrats would be all over him. Okay?
During the hearing, Director Comey was there, nobody supported Hillary. There was not a Democrat nor a Republican that supported
her. They had that one Democratic woman who was an idiot. Who said, I'm sure a lot of us use our servers, okay, to send information. Nobody's ever told us not to do that. We have no guidance. I said, don't you watch the news?
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, it was pathetic, you know, but I didn't want to see her indicted, to tell you the truth, because God forbid then you get Bernie. You know, so
that's not going to happen either.
So anyway, yeah, so much. So that's most of my opinion. We'll go back to financial stuff right now. And we'll go to John in Amherst. Good morning.
How are we doing, guys?
Okay.
Good, thank you.
I'm wondering what you think, how high my waste management can go, and what you're thinking about GE in here.
What was the second one?
What was the second one?
General Electric.
Oh, GE.
Oh, that thing. Well, you're getting piggy on waste management at this point. You know, the price objective was 68. It hit 70. I mean, how high can it go? It's hard to say. I mean, it had a beautiful breakout out of that consolidation and met its price objective, you know.
But would you see any reason to get rid of it? I mean, I bought it so low, I should just...
Well, I mean, depends, you know, two ways of looking at it. I would say after you've had something run from, just in the last 2 years, from 30 to 70, right? Do you take a little off the table just in case?
Absolutely.
Well, I took a third off when we got to like 55.
Oh, you did?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, some people can hang on forever and it turns out to be right, you know. if all of a sudden there's a significant event in the market and the market tanks all of a sudden, this thing's back in the 50s again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Possibility, you know. So you don't know, you know.
And that's why I took my 1/3 off.
Yeah, which is a good thing to do, you know.
Yeah, they got earnings coming out July 27th. You probably knew that.
Well, that's something, you know, to keep an eye on. No question about that. And let me just take a look at one other thing real quick.
And WM Waste Management closed at 67.61.
Yeah, it did hit 70. You
know? Yeah, it was a spike up that day, but.
And right now, well, as long as they meet their earnings estimate, right?
Right.
And they're estimating next year $3.05, right? So, and that's a projected growth of, say, about 50 cents over last year, which is 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, technically, on a market that's trading at a relatively high PE for the average company, you know, say the PE, I think, is around, what, 17 for the S&P?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
And right now, you know, this company would be trading at, 22 times next year's estimate. And, mm-hmm. you know, so when a company that's growing at 20% versus a typical S&P company that might be growing at, 7, 10% or something. And the way I always look at it, in a good market, you can take the growth rate, which is, say, 20%, you can double that, and it could trade at a 40 PE, right? Which is ridiculous, 120. So technically, what I'm saying is this could go. This could go
buy
a lot,
some more.
This could go a lot higher on earnings. So on that, those type of earnings, as long as the market behaves, and as long as they don't come up with a surprise. So I don't know if that helps you, but you know.
No, it's because that's why I took the 1/3 off early. I'm thinking about just keeping the 2/3 for a while because the dividend's okay.
Yeah.
How about GE? Do we break out yet or no? We got to get through what, 33?
Yeah, let me take a look at GE real quick. See, what's interesting, you know, I don't know if you ever go to finviz.com, but if you go to finviz.com and you call up a chart on GE, the chart was on a beautiful channel, you know, all year, you know, since October of 2014, and now it just blew right out of that channel. That's a very bullish sign. So, anyway, there you go. We'll go back to GE now.
Now, what's your point of figure in the best case scenario on GE?
Well, GE on a regular chart broke out, and now let's look on the point and figure chart. It looks very nice on a regular chart, on a regular bar. When I say regular bar chart, you know.
Yeah.
Some people might be listening who aren't technically inclined, I guess. But, it's a breakout, definitely.
Yeah. Close at 32.20.
And, you know, take it with a grain of salt. You know, the point and figure target's 54, right?
I'll sell for 40, and I'm going to take a 1/3 off the table there.
Yeah, but if I did it another way, you know, sometimes there's something you call equal legs, you know, and it had a run from 20 to 31, which is 11 points, you know. Then it pulled back to 28, so you add 11 to 28, you get just about what you said, right? 39.
Yeah, if it gets to 40, I think I'm going to take a 1/3 off. That's what I'm hoping for.
It's a good way to do it, believe me.
Last time it was at these levels was in 2008 and
9,
so.
It kept bumping up to, you know, it gets through 30 and then just stall. Yep. Now it's finally gotten through 31, and hopefully it can maintain that for a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this isn't one you expect to skyrocket on you. But
No.
Yeah.
But they've cleaned up a lot of their balance sheet and underperforming and questionable assets. So,
and in a way,
you know, everybody's waiting.
You know, you kind of like a non-volatile stock.
That's why I like those, too. It's like, you know, I'm going to have to, if I replace them, I want to replace them with something that's, you know, kind of stable with a little growth.
Right, exactly. You know, so, you know, a steady type of climber, you know, without a lot of volatility, you know.
All right, guys. Love listening to the show. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, John.
The phone lines are still wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520. That's 803-1520. Or toll free, 800-879-7541. That's 800-879-7541. And I did that whole thing about RQI. Well, by the way, RQI is an ETF, like I first said. You know, they always say, go with your first camp comes out of your mouth. You know, you take an exam, go with your first inclination.
Yeah.
Don't change your mind, you know. But it is an ETF, you know, of, and what it is, it's a fund of REITs, okay?
There you go. So all the answers were right.
All of them were right in one way or another, right?
Senator.
Right. I'd make a very good politician.
You would.
803-1520 or toll-free.
I don't know. 800-879-7541.
Well, I might know that a C in parentheses meant classified, you know, but but anyway. We'll go next to Bob in Buffalo. Good morning.
Hey, guys.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. Hey, Hillary and the FBI are both criminals. You know, George Orwell called it newspeak. I never heard such double talk in my entire life.
Oh, just beyond imagination. Just beyond imagination.
It was insane.
You know, the
it
funny thing is,
confusing if you listen.
One of the senators, or it wouldn't be a senator, one of the representatives would have said to him, what would you say, you know, if Hillary lied under oath? And the FBI director says, we have no evidence that she lied to us under oath. He said, well, if somebody lied under oath, wouldn't that be a problem or whatever, right? You know, shouldn't they be?
Yeah, perjury.
Right. So he says, yes. So he said, well, what about when she had the Benghazi testimony? And during that testimony under oath, she said, I never sent classified emails. and then the Comey was, whoop. He says, well, you know, we don't investigate that unless it's referred to us first, right?
Yeah.
So they said, well, I'll tell you what, in 48 hours, we'll refer it.
it was really a
joke, you know, so, but anyway.
Yeah, George Orwell called it newspeak.
Yep, is it perfect, perfect.
And by the way, George L. Orwell was an MI5 agent.
Was he?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Holy cow.
He's on the other side, guys.
On the dark side.
He was creating our future for us.
On the dark side, holy
yeah.
cow. Well, you know, like I always say, if you took all of the stuff that was brought out during that 13 minutes you talked about, and if it wasn't Hillary Clinton, get that out of your mind, right? Wouldn't
right.
you say, hey, you know? But because it's Hillary Clinton, oh, my God, you know.
Yeah,
anyway.
Well, like George Orwell said when he wrote in, the book 1984?
1984.
Yeah, everybody's created equal, except some people are created more equal than others.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just wish people
that's
would be
true.
Objective, you know. Well, that's the goes,
people
you know.
Are asleep.
Yep, that's for sure.
Anyways, I called about HMY. Where do you think it's going to go?
Don't. I'm so mad about that.
I personally,
for myself, took a profit, but I always tell people, you know, after you sell something, pay attention, you know.
Right.
Because if you liked it to begin with, you know, and the thing. Broke out again, you know, after pulling back to 3 when I thought I was brilliant after I sold it at 4, you know.
Right.
But anyway.
I'm not sure where it closed, but it closed over at
446.
Last
time,
right?
446, right.
So where, you're the technical guys, where do you think it's going to go?
Well, the downtrend line on a point and figure chart is 5, okay?
Oh, really?
Yeah. And if I look at a regular bar chart, which I'll do... HMY on a bar chart. Well, that doesn't help. We'll go to a different one. You can always find something that gives you a better number. You
know? Sort of like politics.
It's like politics.
For, right?
Yeah. Or data that comes out. You can always spin it however you want. You know. So.
Kind of like an economist.
It depends on who owns how many shares, right?
Exactly.
But it just shows that we don't know. You know, we tell people all the time, you got to do your own research. You got to make your decisions. Don't listen to anybody.
I agree, but I like your opinion. It gives me some kind of
base. No. That's what you do. You gather the information, then you make your decision.
Because I'm not a technical guy at all.
I'm having trouble going back far enough, you know, because this thing's exceeded everything for a while.
So if you have to go back that far, forget about it.
But if you get a measured move, okay.
Here we go. He's got the
measured move.
The abacus
is this thing ran from almost zero. You know?
Right, it was 58 cents, I think.
All right, so say from 50.
That was just December of 15.
Right.
So it went from 50 to $4, so that's 350, right?
Right.
Pull back to 3, so a measured move would give you 6.5, you know?
Oh, hey, that 6.5 is really working.
I knew you'd like that better.
See, I have all the sharp objects right. away from Peter now, too, as a matter of fact. But he's going to go in and buy it on Monday and kill everything.
But, a measured move gives you that. Let me see if I can go back.
Oh, I fell in mine.
Yeah, there you go.
But you know, be aware, next resistance is, you know, around the 5 area for the downtrend, you know.
Cool. But I figured I could have got 5 out of it, so far so good.
So far you're in the right direction. Yeah. And actually, you know, once it hits 4.5, that's what they call a triple top breakout for everybody who wants to hear other terms, I'm sure. You know, but that would be very bullish.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And if you want to take this, I can beat everything I gave you so far, right?
Right.
Price, objective, and point and figure chart, 1075. How about
that?
How do you like that?
Well, I bought some years ago for 13-something.
Oh, yeah, wow. I see you there on the chart.
Yeah.
up from Buffalo.
up in all this action back in, what year was that, 2011?
Yeah. Yeah. Might have been, I bought that a lot earlier than that, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't look like it was above that then. Would you pay for it?
I think it was 13 and some change.
You better check. You may have bought it cheaper.
Well, the only other time I see it at 13, and boy, you caught the exact high that year.
Yeah, I know.
It's 2009.
See, I held on to everything.
So.
Right. Oh, and by the way, on the 15th,
yeah.
I'm in a group exhibition at Hall Walls, which is an art gallery in Buffalo.
Oh, very good.
And I'll tell you, the painting has a big dollar sign on it.
Beautiful.
You mean the cost of it or just the idea of
the
painting?
No, actually, the cost is reasonable. Okay. I find out in Buffalo, everybody wants something for free.
Yeah.
So I just put enough on there to cover my costs.
There you go.
Well, hey, that's at least if you get your stuff out there, right?
That's
a good marketing approach, really.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
Yep.
Well, guys, you enjoy your weekend, and thanks for the information.
Okay, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate the call. Okay. Right now, phone numbers to call, 803-1520. That's 803-1520, or toll-free, 800-879-7541. That's 800-879-7541. Very easy to get in right now.
Very easy.
And I guess, you know, while we're waiting for the phone calls, we'll take a quick one-minute break, and we will be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors every Saturday morning live from 10 to 11. Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors show is also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. Interesting. You know, I heard somebody's advertisement for some financial firm, and they said member FINRA.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's interesting. I thought everybody said FINRA.
Oh.
You know. But so much for that important fact.
Well, those are obviously out-of-towners.
It must be. So.
You could tell by the accent.
Yeah.
No, I don't
know. I don't know. But anyway, phone numbers to call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And, you know, at the end of that little thing with all these, you know, FINRA, SIPC, MSRB, you know, alphabet soup, we have an RIA, which means we are registered investment advisors, which does mean that we do manage money. We do manage accounts. We manage accounts that are not held at our firm, for one thing. You know, a lot of people don't do that. You know, if you have a pension plan at your company, you have a 403B,
and there's
forth,
a lot
so
of changes
on.
Coming.
A lot of changes will be coming there and
you're
so
probably
forth.
Not, and, you've probably seen them but not realize what they are.
So we are able to handle those and manage the accounts for you. Also, we do manage money in-house. And have a number of different programs, you know, based on, you know, your risk tolerance, your objectives, and so forth and so on. There's different programs for
great programs.
For different people, you know, and that type of thing. And if you're ever interested in, you know, in talking to us about having your money managed, and as you can tell from this program, we very rarely, if almost never, sell anything. So we're very low-key people. So don't be afraid to come in and talk
to us. Right, but just on the managed money, because a lot of people 5 years ago thought you had to have certain half a million, $1 million minimums. Right. Because of what's going on with the Department of Labor and them taking over the oversight of retirement accounts, IRAs, 401k, SEPs, and that, the minimums to get involved in these programs has been greatly reduced. So it's reasonable for most people to take a look at. And I learned 40 years ago when I got in this business that it's most important that people know what options are available for them. Doesn't mean you have to take them all, but you really should take a bit of time and review your options that are available within your own retirement account, whether it's a self-directed IRA or it's a company 401k, because there's been so many changes that are coming up with this. So it's important to look at.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And also, if you're interested sometime in talking to us about managing your money, all the information is at the website, saperstein.com.
Yeah, don't bother us. Don't call us.
Well, there's phone numbers, there's emails, forth and so on. All the contact information is there. So you can go to saperstein.com, SAPERSTON.com.
All right, let's talk about
it. And that's what you got. You got a commercial because you didn't call us. So the phone number is to call or 803-1520 or toll-free 800-879-7541. There was a great interview with Jeffrey Gundlach again in Barron's.
Buffalo-based young man out in L.A.
From Double Line Capital.
Yeah, the big bond guru now. Yeah, was going to buy, had an offer to look at the bills in case people don't recognize the name.
And basically, they interviewed him and they asked him about the record low yield, on the 10-year bond. Mm-hmm. And he
1.36, the lowest in history.
Yeah. And I think, that he's been saying for a long time that we'd be going toward 1%.
And everybody thought he was nuts. Right. Yeah.
And it said, we just passed the all-time low in the 10-year yield of 1.39%, which we saw in July of 2012. Mm-hmm. And it's no surprise that he said that the 10-year has been strong after Brexit. But I'm not at all convinced that we're going to see much lower yields in the U.S.
Right. And what he talks about, just to interrupt you, the strong point means that the price of the bond increases and the yield decreases, for those of you that may not be familiar with those terms.
Good. This is what he said.
Go ahead.
Good introduction. He said, but even if we do, you're talking about a de minimis profit. Even if the 10-year yield drops another percentage point, how much will you make? Less than 10%. He says there's better ways to speculate. Mm-hmm. So Barron says, such as, he says, gold miners have a very high probability, if you bought them today and were disciplined, of making 10%. Mm-hmm. And he seems to be more of trading right now.
Right.
Okay,
sounds like it. Yeah.
One of the things driving markets lower is a declining belief in and an enthusiasm for central planning authorities.
Oh, God.
And, he said, and the political establishment. Digressing a little, in the article he says nobody expected Brexit, and because of this lack of enthusiasm and belief in central planning authorities and political establishment, that's why he says Trump will win. Okay, so he's betting Trump will win. Okay, in this environment, he said, gold is a safe asset. There's an 80% chance of making 10% in gold, while the probability of a 10% gain on the treasury is 20% at best. So the risk rewards in favor of the gold miners, Wow. So they said, well, that doesn't make for a very exciting portfolio, right?
Well, where has anybody been? If
right.
They don't really,
so what he says is our portfolios are high-quality bonds, gold, and some cash.
Wow.
So people say, what kind of portfolio is that? He says, I say that's one is that's outperforming everybody else.
There you go.
I mean, bonds are up more than 5%. Gold is up substantially this year, 28%. And the gold miners have had a 100% gain. This is a year, and this is painful, but this is a year when it hasn't been that tough to earn 10% with your portfolio. Easy for him to say, right?
Yeah, sure. When you got it almost,
So he says, most people think this is a dead money portfolio. They've got it wrong. The dead money portfolio is the S&P.
I've been very nervous about these markets for quite some time, I'm not that smart. Just in doing this for as many years as I have, I just feel that there's something coming, and I don't know when, why, but it's going to happen. And I've been very conservative in my very conservative portfolios in the managed accounts with only 11% exposure is outperforming the indexes. Mm-hmm. And exactly what Mr. Gundlach said. And anybody who knows me knows I'm not that smart. So,
that brings up, whenever you listen to anybody, it's their opinions, okay?
Right.
Nobody's right all the time.
Right.
And also, different people have different strategies, so you have to be aware, And he's kind of telling you right now, I'm more in a somewhat trading mode. He's very cautious, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's where he's coming from. And a lot of times you listen to people, but you don't know where they're coming from, you know? So you can't just jump at advice or something that's mentioned, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so you have to do your own research, as we keep saying, you know? Right now, phone numbers to call, 803-1520, or toll-free, 800-879-7541.
And can I just get one thing out? In the recent employment report that came out with the claims and all this, the one thing you got to look at is hourly earnings, and that dropped by a tenth of a percent. Until we get some kind of wage inflation, you can listen to all the noise that the administration, and whether Republican or not, the key to any kind of growth that we're going to see in labor markets is inflation in wages, and we're not getting it. We haven't gotten it, and I don't think we're going to get it for the next year or so. So just it's one point to look at. Thank you.
That's your opinion.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to go next to Vic in Williamsville. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Okay. Good. How are you?
Good. I hope Gundlach is right, because God help us if Hillary wins. I think it's the end of America as we know it.
Well, start looking towards the convention and see what the platforms for the different parties are for taxes.
Yeah, yeah.
The Republican, it just came out. I mean, three tax brackets, 12, 25, and 33, higher deductions, and they're also looking to reduce business taxes to 20% from 35. That will be tremendous. And people, you know, wake up, America. That's all I can say.
Well, unfortunately, I think a lot of America is ignorant and doesn't look at the issues. They look at either Democrat or Republican. And unfortunately, I think there's more registered Democrats in this country.
Sure.
You know, well, it's true. I mean,
but they're mad, too.
Personally, at this time in history, I don't think you should be either, you know.
No.
You should be not registered with either, not supporting either. Just listen to everybody and use your own head.
Pennsylvania had 46,000 Democrats that re-registered as Republicans this year. That's huge. 46,000 Democrats.
Anyway, away from political.
Well, at any rate, I didn't call to discuss politics,
right.
But
okay.
You
can't help it with everything that's going on.
You can't help it. It's uppermost in your mind all the time.
Exactly.
Why don't I ask you something? I happen to own the junior miners, and Silver Wheaton done very well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I noticed yesterday when the jobs report came out, the futures on both turned pretty markedly negative. But then as the market progressed, things turned around substantially. And just want to know what would have been the reason for that
September
that
rate hike?
Really?
Yeah, sure. They figure interest rates are going up and the time for the metals is over, but I don't think that's true. But I think what the first blush was.
Now, I think what I've read is that the futures indicate that the next rate hike won't be till December at the earliest.
No, that's old news. It's September.
That's
now.
Old news.
Yeah. Today.
You know, once again, the news, and you know, you pay attention to that.
No, but that's out there. You got to take it into consideration.
But one thing that you have to always remember is there's a lot of computerized programs out there.
That's true.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're algos, and they search the news for words. All right. So maybe they found some words they didn't like.
Here,
right?
9:05. It came out the headline: U.S. job growth roars back in June.
Right.
That was New York Times or
thing,
Wall Street Journal. Yeah.
Then you know, so they're constantly searching the news for words, and they just kick off their programs. You know, it's not people. You know,
they're trading for pennies too.
But even though the jobs growth last month was very good, they took down the job growth for the prior month.
Right.
and the averages, I think I read for the last 3 months is 140.
It's low.
Which is mediocre.
No, Vic, you're absolutely correct. But the headline, I read it, it's 9:05 from the Wall Street Journal. I just happened to have it printed out to bring in, and I print it out at different times. Job growth roars back. And as I said, it doesn't matter. It's wage inflation. That's what counts, wages. And because then you get paid, you're able to go and spend. And when you have 65% of the 7-some million new jobs created over the last 8 years that are part-time, they're not buying Lexuses and new homes.
Yeah, unfortunately, most people focus on on the percentage. You know, it's 4.9%, and you know, and say, oh, that's great, but it really isn't when you look behind the number.
Well, the
know?
U6, which is a better indicator, is 9.6%. The U6
right.
is those are people who are still looking and yeah. underemployed and blah, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah.
Yeah. But you know, always remember on a day-to-day basis, because of who's trading, computers trading, there's noise in the market, you know.
Right.
Over the long run, these instruments will move in a direction that makes some sense, all right? But on a short-term basis, forget it, you know. On a day-to-day basis.
What do you think the next level of resistance is at this point in the S&P?
That's a good question.
Well, you can look at the all-time high, right, which is 2134, and it's at 2129.
So we're pretty close.
So you're pretty close. I mean, nothing's broken out yet, okay? So you can say, well, it's been fun, you know, but for 18 months, the market's gone no place, right? And and you're still in that situation. The market's really done nothing for 18 months, you know,
despite
the ups and downs,
right?
Are we going to break out? Say you were going to break out, all right, and you know, a breakout that's strong, you know, not just a blip that traps everybody. Like, there's been a lot of bear traps and bull traps in this market, you know. You get a breakdown, there's no follow-through. The bears get trapped, right? You get a breakout, and everybody rushes in. Now the bulls get trapped, you know. So if you get some kind of reasonable breakout that hangs up there and stays above 2134 for a few days, the next target would be close to 2200, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in reading Gundlach, he said, I don't care if it goes to 2200. Let the market prove itself, right?
So he's still cautious?
He's still cautious for what it's
well,
worth. You know,
we have to be cautious when the market's done zero for 18 months. There's been huge... a huge movement up and down, but overall, again, as Pete says, if you look at the overall, and if we look over 10 years, the unemployment's this, and the spikes here and there, but it's really done nothing, and that makes me nervous. But as also stated in certain articles, that the reason interest rates are so low here is because our economy is the best and strongest economy in the world. Doesn't say too much for the rest of the world, but in we're hardest on ourselves. We tend to eat our own. But
but if you keep focusing on what's the market doing, you miss the opportunities, right?
Right. Well, I agree with that. You know, let me ask you about a couple of stocks.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. Steel. I bought it a little while ago, and I'm thinking of buying more. The chart looks great.
Yeah, it's interesting because we did have it in our managed accounts. I think, you know, and if the SEC is listening, I don't remember exactly. Some we bought it somewhere in the 13, 14 area. And when it got up near 20, we sold it.
And it closed at 1903.
And then it dropped all the way back to
13,
what, after 13, that, you know, 13 again.
Yeah.
And, you know, but a lot of people are starting to like the company. The catch is, can it get above 20, all right?
Right.
So you got to have that breakout at 21. So do you want to try to anticipate it? And once again, that's up to different people. You might buy a little, right? And, you know, buy a portion of your position. And then if it breaks out, you know, and goes to 21, you buy more.
Right. Okay. And I want to ask you about, I called a while ago about NVIDIA.
Oh, yeah,
and
it just keeps going. I hope you have kept it. But
well, actually, I sold a profit, but then I got back a couple weeks ago.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And it was at a high pull warning, and then it dropped down again, and now it's, you know, it went through a triple top, and I just want to ask you, what do you think the prospect there is at this point?
You know, the high pull warning I always take with a grain of salt, although it does tell you something's had a big run without correcting, okay?
Right.
That's the idea behind the high pull warning, you know, which basically means it's gone up 18 straight boxes, which is a point, or 18 straight points without a three-point pullback, for anybody who's wondering what that means. So you haven't had, you know, a point and figure correction. Now you did, right? Some people on a high pull warning, when it did that three-box pullback, would have sold, right? Thinking, okay, that's it. But the interesting thing on it, and one of the trading services I follow, has a target potentially up in the 60s, right?
Closed at 50.85.
Yeah, and it closed at 58 right now.
No, $50.85.
Oh, 50.85. Okay.
Yeah. NVDA.
So you know, the next target would be around 60, but now you got a reasonable stop point at 44. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I love the company. All the fundamentals are great. I know you guys don't look at that.
But they are very good.
Yeah.
They made a very good move in the areas they're in. You know, they're kind of a leader now, you know, in the area, the graphic chip area.
They're big with driverless cars, right?
Right, right. That's what they're focused on, in graphics for games. And,
right.
But the driverless cars is they're looking to partner with companies like Google that are looking at that. Mm-hmm. You know, so
yeah, and BMW and
BMW.
Yeah, so I'd reevaluate if it dropped to 44. You know,
okay.
And otherwise, you know, could run away from here.
If I can quickly ask you about one more, mm-hmm. Chubb CB.
Boy, I haven't heard that name in 50 years. No, Chubb, unbelievable. Do you own it?
I was called it my life.
Yeah, and this is another one I'm thinking about buying some more. So, yeah.
Well, you know, for what it's worth, the point and figure target's 163.
Closed at 130 and a quarter.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And I would only reevaluate if it dropped to around 120 or so.
Yeah, 2% dividend.
Yeah.
They're property and casualty insurer, for those that don't know.
So, you know, if you're doing a point and figure risk reward, which everybody should not necessarily do a point and figure one, but risk reward, you know, how much might I lose? When do I know I'm wrong? You know, a potential sell would be at 120, right? And a close, what, at 130?
130 and a quarter, yeah.
10-point you're willing to lose on the downside for a potential of 30 on the upside, 3-1.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Not bad.
Okay, thanks for your help.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you for the call.
Question.
Appreciate
it. Have a nice weekend.
Okay, phone numbers to call, 803-1520 or toll-free, 800-879-7541. We're going to go next to Bob in Buffalo. Good morning.
Hi, guys. I'm like a boomerang.
What happened here?
I found out the information on HMY.
Okay.
I purchased it on February 9th, 2007.
Wow.
Oh, my God. My chart didn't go back that far.
And I paid $13.23 for it.
Oh, very good. Tremendous. I appreciate that.
My best guess is that gold was probably under $600 at the time.
I would think. Well, I don't know.
I wonder.
Somewhere around there. So Harmony should be like $26 now, right?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. That's what's confusing me.
I like your thinking there.
Yeah. Sell.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, back in the late 70s and early 80s, I believe Harmony was in the hundreds of dollars.
You're kidding, really?
Yeah. Right.
Well, you're talking $850 gold, $50 silver, the Hunt Brothers. And
right.
All those good times.
Goldfields and all the rest of those South African companies were high.
Yeah.
Because I owned Rustenburg, which was a platinum mine.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, too, I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know that much about gold mining, but I would assume way back then that the quality of the gold, you know, the amount you could get out of the diggings, you know, was probably higher back
then. Oh, a lot higher.
A lot higher.
So those South African mines are just about out of gold.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, they've been digging and digging and digging, and you're going down to the lower amounts available per ton of ore that you're digging. You know?
Right.
So, yeah.
But I mean,
I almost sound intelligent, right?
I'm
not convinced. So
I didn't convince you.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Really, when you really listen to them, they don't sound intelligent at all.
That I totally agree.
Apparently, the new thing is in the new Tarzan movie is diamonds. That's what you got to go.
Oh, diamonds! Yeah, that's a big fraud too.
Yeah, right.
And as long as we somehow went somewhat political, I would go on. I don't like the government. That's it. I don't like the Republicans. I don't like the Democrats.
You're my kind of guy.
There you go.
Someday I'll sit down with you because you're into numerology.
How'd you know that?
I'll explain this whole game to you and all the number systems that
I appreciate
that the bad guys use.
I should have talked to you before somebody else won that lottery last night.
I don't think it works.
Well, sometimes you're good and sometimes you're not.
Right.
I'll reiterate this as we get to a closer date.
Yep.
But something's going to happen on August 2nd.
Something is?
Something big's going to happen on August 2nd.
Okay.
I don't know what.
What year?
August 2nd of this year, right?
This coming year.
Okay.
Oh, this coming year, this year.
We will watch that date.
Yeah, I'll talk to you before then.
Okay.
Okay, then my 8,000 years of research will come through.
There you go.
The 8,000-year-old man.
You're not getting on a ship or anything, are you?
No, they left me here.
There you go. AI
we'll
is
get together
take
and
over.
Have lunch sometime.
Right. Sounds good.
Yeah. Take care, guys.
Okay, thanks, take care.
Okay.
Okay. Phone numbers to call, 803-1520 or toll free, 800-879-7541.
Climate change. Here's the thing.
America's study is bad news
Antarctica.
For climate change
Antarctica
doubters.
Study.
Okay.
I told you about this.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But that's bad news for the doubters.
Yeah, global warming. You told me, you said, no, the new thing is climate change.
It's now climate change.
Right, that's
how
it
you
is.
Change your definitions. You
it
know?
Says on September 19, 2014, the five-day average of Antarctic sea ice exceeded 20 million square kilometers for the first time since 1979, according to the National Snow and Ice Data Center.
Right. And that's why when you told me that, I said, you noticed they changed it. That's how you change things, you know.
Right.
You know, global warming obviously wasn't working because it was getting cold at that time. So they said, no, now it's climate change, you know.
Right.
So now if the ice is getting thicker, that's climate change. See?
It's a lot of ice. It makes some nice ice rinks,
you know, so
I think.
It's like we were talking about you change your definitions. You know, if they call Hillary extremely careless, they don't use the term gross negligence, all right? If they grill Bill Clinton, who says, I didn't have sexual relations, he had a different definition. Well, according to my definition,
have to define
whatever the definition is,
define
whatever you want
is.
To do.
What do you mean by is?
So you either change your words, you know, that's the way the game's played. Right now, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. And it'll be interesting to see what happens next week as the, you know, the S&P is, within 5 points of its all-time high.
Nobody's too excited about that.
Yeah, well, I don't know if anybody realizes it. You know?
No, but nobody's excited.
When it really comes down to it, you know. So, but it was interesting that, you know, a lot of people are banking on low yields to keep the market going and keeping the economy going. And this guy in Barron's this weekend, this guy Darter, I forgot where he's from, but he says, don't count on that. He says he counts four low-rate recessions that have occurred from 1947 to 1960
Right?
And during that period, the S&P dropped an average of 20% when the recessions occurred. Of course, he says that's not as bad as the average recession sell-off of 34%, but still not pleasant.
Right. So, low interest rates are great for certain things.
Right.
Housing.
Exactly.
Except that when you get the price of the housing expanding and becoming unreasonable, plus the bureaucracy that we're dealing with your favorite term, the government, trying to do it. I talked to a friend of mine who's a mortgage broker yesterday, longtime friend, and he's a regional manager in a national firm, and he said, it is unbelievable what they have to go through. And you go through all this paperwork, and if you literally don't dot the I or cross the T, throw it out, got to start all over again, another 3 months, and it's just...
Oh, it's exactly. Matter of fact, real quickly, I'm doing a refinancing because I have an FHA mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So there's supposed to be this thing called the FHA Streamline, you know. In other words, supposedly...
Carelessness.
Supposedly, they need hardly anything, right? And because you've been paying and never missed payments for years, all right, you should go through right away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all they keep sending to me is, we need this, we need that. And I keep saying, why do you need anything? I said, you're lowering my interest rate. My payment is now going to go down by $430 a month, all right? So why do you need anything? I'm paying the stupid thing right now. Why do you need anything? You know, well, you know, new government regulations and so
there you go.
You know, so there you go. There so anyway,
streamline.
So we did
that's
more political than maybe some people wanted
well,
us
people
to
have
do.
To call,
but
so.
But you know, but if they don't call that, you
no,
know,
it's Taste of Buffalo but, today. It's
oh, like, that's right. Yeah. Son of a gun. I haven't been to that in 50 years. But anyway,
I think I went about 35 years ago.
Right. I exaggerate a little, but it's been a long
time. See, I like to taste different things. Right. My wife is not, you know, she's a plain
meat
potatoes.
I got to find who runs a restaurant. You want to go down there and eat food that's sitting out there in 80-degree temperature,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Listen, anyway.
My grandmother used to keep butter in the cupboard for crying out. I tell the story all the time.
Right. Anyway.
What's a cupboard?
You may not know this was a financial show, but... But next week, we got the averages trying to, S&P especially trying to make a new all-time high. And you got to be careful for a bull trap, you know, where it could break out and then turn around the other way.
Well, that's what everybody's
just always have your plan in the market. Stop paying attention to what people say about the market. Stop paying attention to the news and so forth, okay?
Yeah. Expectations are very low, Peter.
Just manage your positions. Have a plan. Know what your strategy. Know whether you're an investor. Know whether you're a trader. Don't bounce back and forth, you know? You should be knowing yourself. And in the end, the market doesn't beat you. You beat yourself. So much for philosophy.
Serena Williams won the one Wimbledon.
Oh, she came back, huh? I thought she was on the decline now. Yeah. See that? You get all sorts of great, and this is a sports station. So
some things
so you
get
just got news,
better
you know?
With age. Some things get better with age.
How about
age?
That? So, okay. Anyway, we're down to the last 2 minutes of the show. We can run the Rick real quick. You got 1 minute.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make one quick comment about Hillary Clinton. I'm just amazed that with her background, she was not able to identify that what she was reading were classified documents, even though they were designated with that, you know, C designation.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, it was just amazing that
it's beyond imagination. But the Hillary supporters choose to ignore all of that.
Well, I guess she, you know, just wasn't sophisticated enough yet. Our beloved president said that she's the most qualified person to have ever run, yet she can't read.
He just has the worst luck in the world. Whenever he comes out and makes all these great statements, there's always a disaster the next day. I feel so sorry for him. I really do.
So here's a financial question. Regarding silver stocks, I am unfamiliar with certain ETFs that seem to be other than the normal, representing normal common stocks. It's one, it's called Triple Velocity, USLV.
Well, the problem is triple is a leveraged.
Yeah.
Right. And that's very risky.
Yeah.
Right.
So what I'm calling about is if the tax consequences, if the investor would be taxed differently because of the derivatives and how this fund operates.
We don't give tax or legal advice, but you know, a gain is a gain, a loss is a loss. So I don't think there's an advantage or disadvantage when you're talking about that specific
investment. Well, if you were investing in exchange-traded notes, the tax consequence is different than an ETF.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So I'm comparing this to
but,
that.
But yeah. in a leveraged ETF, I don't think so, but we don't know, you know, to tell you the truth, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Have a good week.
Okay. Till next week, keep a little powder dry. We'll see what the world brings, and we'll be back next week. Take care.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.